Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us from Cincinnati is Donna Abandonalo. Donna is the Chief Compliance Officer of Bonsecur Mercy Health. And today we're going to be talking about reorganizing your compliance department. First, Donna, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks, Adam, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you, too. Now, in the midst of the pandemic, you managed a redesign of your department. On the one hand, that seems like kind of added chaos, but at the same time, given all the changes in work and risk brought on by the pandemic, it can also make a lot of sense. What prompted the need for a redesign?
Well, Adam, it was right before the pandemic, and I was charged with taking over the responsibility of the compliance department. And at Bonsecur Mercy Health, we had a unique structure where we had our compliance department divided into true separate and distinct departments, one specifically geared towards revenue cycle and the other geared towards more general compliance. And part of the redesign was to integrate the two departments into one comprehensive compliance structure for our ministry, which is a pretty large ministry. We have about 60,000 employees across seven states, about 48 hospitals, and various post-acute and other wholly owned subsidiaries and organizations within the organization. So part of what I was charged to do was really look at these two departments. And originally, under the umbrella of enterprise risk, the reporting structure also was going to change, where the compliance department was now going to report directly to our CEO and the audit and compliance committee of the board, and which was a little change for us because initially, post-merger, Bonsecur Mercy Health, we had a chief enterprise risk officer, and both compliance, revenue cycle compliance, and internal audit reported up through this enterprise risk structure. And so moving forward, really looking at the compliance team and identifying, you know, how do we standardize compliance operations across the ministry, and how do we provide coverage?
So that's interesting because, you know, you touched on a key topic that redesigns and reorgs are done for a reason. They're not done for the sake of doing them generally. There's a goal in mind. You had some that you went into, you know, stemming from the way the reporting system changed and so forth. Now, what do you find is the best process for identifying the goals of a redesign?
Well, Adam, I think it's really important to understand the strategy of the organization and where are they going? Where are they moving towards? And how do you align your compliance operations to support that strategy? And really working very closely with your key leadership across the ministry to identify your risk profile. What does it look like? What service lines do you have? Where are your high risk areas? How do you evaluate what is high risk, and how do you develop that risk profile and look across the organization? Then also looking at your leadership support, how do you support the various leadership, especially when you're in such a large geographic area? The compliance team has to support hospital operations and outpatient operations across seven states, across the United States, as well as a health system in Ireland. So we're looking at how do we provide that support as well as the compliance coverage. And then really one of our immediate goals was to standardize compliance operations and integrate into one comprehensive compliance team. And then one of the ultimate goals out of this project was to build the team to be able to scale as the organization grows and moves into either other areas of healthcare or expand upon their core base of operations.
Yeah, and being able to grow is very important for any organization, and you know, making sure that the compliance program can grow along with it is obviously where you want to be. Now, as you went through this process, there were, I'm sure, inevitably bumps along the way. Things change, people resist, unexpected issues come up. What have you found is key for moving in the right direction, even if you may have to make some adjustments as you go?
Well, Adam, really One of the key things that we've identified is really cultivating those critical relationships with the system's operational leaders. There's oftentimes that misconception that compliance can be a roadblock to progress, and compliance professionals really have to work hard to dispel this notion. And as we've worked to operationalize our model, we work very closely with the functional leadership to really proactively provide support and identify creative ways to facilitate some of the business initiatives. And our team, the leadership of our team, meets with operational leaders across our ministry to really develop those relationships and support the various high-risk areas within the organization. And it really allows our team to gain a deep understanding of the work being performed and how do we look across and mitigate risk and not just look at the local level. And really help us work within those applicable laws and regulations from state to state, and then at the federal level, to really say, how can we get to a yes? Our view is we want to facilitate and be the enabler of business operations and organizational initiatives. And our team has become more strategic as they've built these critical relationships.
And relationships is really what it all gets down to. Now, along those lines, you talked about working with functional leaders and you ended up taking a functional approach to the reorganization. What led you to pursue that path as the best way to go?
Well, part of it was that we were looking at how do we address issues or compliance concerns that arise for, say, let's say in a pharmacy setting. And how do we look at it, not just only at the local, at the hospital where it may have been identified, but how do we address that pharmacy issue across the ministry and being able to effectuate change? And given the fact that we undertook this endeavor right before the public health emergency was declared, and then the response to all of the federal and state regulatory waivers and changes that were bombarding us right at the beginning of the pandemic, it kind of facilitated us to form a functional model almost inherently in our PHE response to COVID-19. We worked very closely with our legal department to develop key leads for various areas from a regulatory perspective to be able to support the operation teams out on the front lines, especially when it came to waivers and regulatory flexibilities that were coming out daily. We really kind of moved into that model. And then part of the assessment of the two compliance departments, what we did was we met with each of our staff and really got a good understanding of the skill set that we had within our department. And we were able to leverage that skill set to really move into that functional model. For instance, we have team members who have experience as a pharmacist or as a social worker and have clinical backgrounds. And so it really lent itself to be able to leverage their expertise and have them be the compliance lead for pharmacy and lab and some of our ancillary services. So really looking at that piece of it, the response to COVID-19, and then partnered with our HR department, we have very specific organizational redesign principles that have been adopted by the organization. And they really allow us to be able to evaluate our current state from the department level to the strategic objectives of the organization. And part of that process is to really develop your compliance purpose statement and identify your service delivery model and how you're going to support the organization. So that really kind of facilitated a lot of the work and evaluation as we were going through the COVID response. And then really embarking on the journey of how do we develop the team and the expertise to really address compliance concerns on a broad coverage of geographic area. And then also at the same time, support the local leadership and have a compliance point of contact.
You talked about your team and the skills it had, the vision you had for it and getting it more engaged. What did you find was the best way to get your team on board for the changes? I mean, obviously in any organization, in any position, there's always going to be people who are all for it, and then there are going to be people who sort of are comfortable in the way things are. How did you help keep everyone moving forward?
So, Adam, I think the key here is really transparency and open discussion. We have a compliance team of 71 associates, six of which whom report directly to me, one which resides in Ireland. So, given that and given the pandemic, it was really important for us to be deliberate and intentional in our communication and making sure that we had open lines of discussion and making sure that we had ongoing dialogue about the changes and the initiatives and really working together. And the core leadership team for the compliance department really worked together to develop and really agree upon any decisions that were going to be made to make sure that they were in the best interests of not only the department but the organization as a whole. And for me, it's really important to have the input of the team and to really consider their position and their input before a decision is made. And even when we don't agree, we all have an opportunity to understand and appreciate the other viewpoints of the team leaders and really to kind of work through that. And then being able to communicate down to all of the team members across our organization because we're widely spread out in many states, and to be able to have that ongoing dialogue and being able to really talk through the how and why we're doing things, and to have them understand so that they can then in turn communicate that to the leadership and work with the leadership so the message is consistent across the ministry.
Well, it doesn't seem to matter really where you're talking about any kind of issue involving people. It's always important for them to feel as if they're being heard and to take the time to actually listen. It's such an important thing, although a very basic one for getting people engaged. Well, Donna, thank you for sharing your experience with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.